The iced vodkas arrived in tall, narrow glasses, F&F engraved on the sides. Ray took a sip and the concoction burned all the way to his toes. French took a long pull and smacked his lips. "What do you think?" he asked proudly. "Nice vodka," Ray said. He couldn't remember the last time he'd had one. "Dickie brought fresh swordfish out for dinner. Sound okay?" "Great. And the oysters are good now. I went to law school at Tulane. I had 3 years of fresh oysters." "I know," French said, and pulled a small radio from his shirt pocket and passed along their dinner selections to someone below. He glanced at his watch and decided they would eat in 2 hours. "You went to school with Hassel Mangrum," French said.
"Yes, he was a year ahead of me."
"We share the same trainer. Hassel has done well here on the coast. Got in early with the asbestos boys. I haven't heard from Hassel in 20 years. You haven't missed much. He's a jerk now. I suspect he was a jerk in law school."
"He was. How'd you know I went to school with Mangrum?"
"Research, Ray. Extensive research."
He swigged the vodka again. Ray's third sip went straight to his brain.
"We spent a bunch of dough investigating Judge Attlee, and his family, and his background, his rulings, his finances, everything we could find. Nothing illegal or intrusive, mind you, but old-fashioned detective work. We knew about your divorce. What's his name? Lou the Liquidator?"
Ray just nodded. He wanted to say something derogatory about Lou Radowski, and he wanted to rebuke French for digging through his past. But for a second, the vodka was blocking signals. So he nodded.
"We knew your salary as a law professor. It's public record in Virginia, you know."
"Yes, it is."
"Not a bad salary, Ray. But then it's a great law school."
"It is indeed."
"Digging through your brother's past was quite an adventure."
"I'm sure it was. It's been an adventure for the family.
We read every ruling your father issued in damage suits and wrongful death cases. There weren't many, but we picked up clues. He was conservative with his awards, but he also favored the little guy, the working man. We knew he would follow the law, but we also knew that old chancellors often mold the law to fit their notion of fairness. I had clerks doing the grunt work, but I read every one of his important decisions. He was a brilliant man, Ray, and always fair. I never disagreed with one of his opinions."
"You picked my father for the Gibson case."
"Yes. When we made the decision to file the case in Chancery Court and try it without a jury, we also decided we did not want a local chancellor to hear it. We have three. One is related to the Gibson family. One refuses to hear any matter other than divorces. One is 84, senile, and hasn't left the house in 3 years. So we looked around the state and found three potential fill-ins. Fortunately, my father and your father go back 60 years to Sewanee and then law school at Ole Miss. They weren't close friends over the years, but they kept in touch."
"Your father is still active?"
"No, he's in Florida now, retired, playing golf every day. I'm the sole owner of the firm. But my old man drove to Clanton, sat on the front porch with Judge Attlee, talked about the Civil War and Nathan Bedford Forrest. They even drove to Shiloh, walked around for 2 days. The Hornet's Nest, the Bloody Pond. Judge Attlee got all choked up when he stood where General Johnston fell."
"I've been there a dozen times," Ray said with a smile.
"You don't lobby a man like Judge Attlee. Earwigging is the ancient term."
"He put a lawyer in jail once for that," Ray said. "The guy came in before court began and tried to plead his case. The judge threw him in jail for half a day."
"That was that Chadwick fellow over in Oxford, wasn't it?"
French said smugly, and Ray was speechless.
"Anyway, we had to impress upon Judge Attlee the importance of the Ryaks litigation. We knew he wouldn't want to come to the coast and try the case, but he'd do it if he believed in the cause."
"He hated the coast."
"We knew that. Believe me, it was a huge concern. But he was a man of great principle. After refighting the war up there for 2 days, Judge Attlee reluctantly agreed to hear the case."
"Doesn't the Supreme Court assign the special chancellors?" Ray asked. The fourth sip sort of slid down without burning, and the vodka was tasting better.
French shrugged it off. "Sure, but there are ways. We have friends."
In Patton French's world, anyone could be bought. The steward was back with fresh drinks. Not that they were needed, but they were taken anyway. French was too hyper to sit still for long.
"Let me show you the boat," he said,
and bounced out of his chair with no effort. Ray climbed out carefully, balancing his glass.